You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey guys, March Madness continues here on the tennis circuit. I'm Ed McGrogan here with Pete Bodo. We finished Indian Wells just a couple hours ago. It feels like in Miami is a day away from beginning the qualifying matches. Today's Tuesday. They're just wrapping up, so the draw will be completed by tomorrow, and that's when early round action begins. Pete is going to go down to Miami starting on Sunday. He'll be writing for the site. You can see his report starting on Monday of next week. And it's going to be live from Key Biscayne. Pete will be there. A couple posts a day, so check that out with everything else on the site. What are you most looking forward to seeing down there? This is, I believe, your first live tennis of the year. Is there any players in particular you're looking forward to catch you haven't seen before, or some familiar names you want to get another crack at?
Well, I'm hoping to see a Wozniacki tight match with her. You know, maybe with any luck, we might get a Wozniacki-Kleister's match if Kleister's shoulder is in better shape, I guess. Because, you know, she's really, really played well, I think, this she had that glitch at the Australian Open. She had match points. She loses that match, but you know, no shame in that, and the way she lost there. So I just really want to get a good close look at her and see, because she is, you know, she is the number one. People do complain about her not having won a major. I've become a fan in terms of her game. You know, I think there's a lot more to her game than some people acknowledge. So I really want to get a nice, good close look at her, see the state of her confidence, stuff like that. On the men's side, I'm kind of interested in Nadal with the clay court season coming up, because he's always owned the clay court season. Now you've got Djokovic breathing down his neck. Federer, you know, it's really up in the air. I'm very curious to see Federer too, some of Federer, because I think he kind of needs to regroup here. I think he's he kind of fallen off the pace a little bit with these losses to Djokovic. I mainly want to see what his attitude is. Kind of, is he going to be, is he going to sort of just kind of mail it in, thinking, well, we're going to Europe soon. That's another issue, I think. In fact, that's a general issue, I think, at this tournament. These guys now, especially the top players, they're coming to the end of this long, hard court grind that starts in Australia, even before the Australian Open. And they're already thinking about Europe and the clay court season and all that stuff. So, are they really... Miami, in some ways, can be a very up-in-the-air kind of tournament.
It provides... That's what I think, what I was thinking about for the big names, especially when we look at whether you think Wozniacki or Djokovic can do the transcontinental double here. And it's like, they've obviously just come off a big long week, and some players that could be big threats were also eliminated very early in Indian Wells, and they've had a couple weeks almost to recover. You think of guys like Murray in particular, maybe it seems like there can't be a American hard court swing where Andy Murray doesn't have a say at some point or something like that. But
that's very true, actually. It's a good observation. I think that's it's going to be a tie. Plus, he's going to need the points.
He's won Miami before. I do think Murray, for that reason, it doesn't seem like he could fizzle out this quickly. And he's already had a lull from the Australian Open. It seems like he's kind of due to pick up. He's just too good of a player not to, I think.
Well, Radica's a lot to defend here, too. I mean, I'm curious. I really want to see if Andy can pull it back together. Because I think for a while now, in all honesty, I think people for a couple of years now have been thinking, because of the troubles Andy's had beating Roger Federer, because, he's sort of behind Rafael Nadal as well, and he's kind of slipped down to that second half of the top 10. I think a lot of people are thinking that, well, gee, is his time really going to be passed now? Are we going to start looking at him really as just kind of main guy at Wimbledon and Davis Cup, but really not really there the way he's been at these other events? And it'd be great for Andy to do well at that tournament to sort of keep up the reputation.
The semifinals of Indian Wells were the really, on the men's side, were the really superstar billing matches. The past four Grand Slam champions, which stretches back years. I'm not going to go deep in the draw, but I saw that the way it works out is the quarterfinals here could be pretty compelling. It's Murray Djokovic possibility, Roddick Federer possibility. Just on Djokovic for just a minute. I guess. Do you think that Djokovic can win this Australian Key Biscayne Indian Wells triple here, or do you think he's sort of suspect to maybe an early round exit by someone, because it's just such a long grind, especially he could obviously run into some hot player in the end, but it seems like with just the amount of tennis he's been playing, he's also sort of susceptible to an early round, maybe a stunner too.
Well, yeah, I've been thinking about that. It's going to depend a little bit about what his draw is, but I've really been wondering whether he's, you know, look, I mean, the guy's done so much this year. You know, he's lost, you know, he's 18-0, 19-0, whatever it is now in his run. I mean, can he really, is he really going to make it 26-0?
Right.
And go to Europe with that kind of thing? Or is he going to sit back and say, well, you know, gee, I mean, I've done a lot. I've done a lot of, played a lot of great tennis this year. It's Miami. We're going to Europe soon. He's going to Colombia to play Nadal in an exhibition. You know, maybe, you know. This is a guy who's actually taken his eye off the ball in the past. You know, let's face it, he gets a little bit distracted and sidetracked. He, you know, starts loving life. He's, you know, and so he's, you know, it's possible to distract him off that mission. But, you know, on the other hand, he really seems like he turned a major corner in Indian Wells with these back-to-back wins over Federer and Nadal. And somehow those wins were more resonant to me. That win in Indian Wells, to me, was more of a confirmation of Djokovic's kind of, you know, not so much of his arrival as it were. His arrival is one of those legitimate, you know, top three that you never know who, you know, who he's gonna beat on most surfaces, maybe other than clay. So, you know, I think, you know, how he reacts to that is gonna be interesting. I think he's also riding a, you know, he's riding a big emotional wave. So, you know, why not go in there and just roll through a bunch of
guys? Yeah, what his long term view of the whole year sort of intrigues me because he may not have much to prove left, I guess, on hard courts in a way, but he has a lot to gain. Clay court season, of course, you know, no one has threatened Nadal, period, since he came on the scene. And then, you know, he still has the number one ranking, which he's never gotten, and that's certainly he's definitely the leading man right now with the points he's accumulated. So it's interesting to see if Djokovic will, just like you said, maybe take. Kind of Miami is what it is. It comes right after Indian Wells, or you know, maybe it's just this is his year, and this is just another stepping stone along the way. So we'll see what Djokovic does. Just one note on Federer because you wrote about him today. Give me a brief summation of what you wrote about Roger Federer today, and how I guess his motivation is for tournaments like these big Masters and even the Slams.
Well, these tournaments clearly don't motivate him, nor should they at this point in his career, quite honestly, in terms of the number of wins he's put up and stuff. But he's got to be a little bit careful. What I picked up on today was, you know, when he said that he was not frustrated, that's a quote, I guess, the word, not frustrated by the three straight losses to Djokovic. Well, you know, I don't know. I think I'd really much rather hear him say, yeah, I'm
pissed off
about this.
Right.
This bothers me, and I want to rectify this because... You know, it's pretty, you know, you start reading that and people start saying, well, I guess Federer doesn't care anymore. You know, that's really what people are going to say. Look, we know the guy cares. He's a great professional. Until that guy lays down his racket, I think he's going to be a threat to win any tournament he enters. So I would by no means take him lightly in that regard. But I think he really needs to, you know, not so much reevaluate where he is, but, you know, sort of how he approaches some of these things. Now, he's going to have these bad lapses. There's no question about that. He's, you know, fast approaching 30. He's got a lot of miles on the odometer, you know. Granted, he plays an easy game. You know, he's not prone to injury. You know, it's a fairly light game in a sense, and not too stressful on his body and stuff. But you know, it's the mental and emotional part that really means a lot more. And so you can see the guy sort of taking his eye off the ball, but he's got to find a way to, I think, refire himself for these things. He's got to find a way. So okay, I got to stop the bleeding here. You know, I'm number three now behind Djokovic. I got to get back to number two. He says number one still means a whole lot to him. Well, I got news for him. You know, I think being number two again, you know, is going to require a pretty big effort on his part because these clay court tournaments are going to require a lot of patience for a guy with Federer's game. So I think he really just needs to really, you know, kind of really decide what he wants. He can't just sit back and be passive and say, well, you know, I'll play better again. And, you know, I'm Roger Federer. You know, I've got 16 Grand Slam titles. I can lose six matches in a row to Thomas Berdych, and who's going to, you know, what's the big deal?
16's not going to change, right?
And you know what? That I don't think that's the best way for him to actually build on the resume and get more wins under his belt.
Switch to the women's for just a minute. We hit on Wozniacki a little bit, and I think Clijsters deserves a little attention for what happened to her in Indian Wells. She retired with a shoulder injury. Some called it sort of a not as severe as it may have appeared, but more so was her some comments afterwards she made about really just at this point for her the WTA schedule is just more of a burden than anything else, and it's just kind of her goals are the Fed Cup, the Slams, and that's really where it begins and ends there. I guess what do you is there something you would prefer to see from Kleister's this tournament? What do you think? What do you think? I guess the rest of the year shapes up for her a little bit as.
I'd like to see Kleister's make a legitimate run at having a rivalry with Wozniacki. Clearly, not going to have a 10-year rivalry, you know,
right.
At this point.
Yeah,
so
there's not much time to get it going.
No,
yeah.
They're not going
to
go down in history as great rivals. Well, look, the bottom line is this: they're kind of co-number ones in a sense. You know, Kleister's has come up big on a Grand Slam occasions for a couple of years now. Wozniacki's still looking for that first Grand Slam win. She's a lot younger; she's only 20, so she doesn't have an issue. You know, you got to lose a couple of matches. You got to be in a position. You got to be like an Andy Murray. Where, after last year, he has a tough match with Federer. You know, it's everyone's all, what a pity, he'll be back. And then this year, he really kind of stuck to join that. He's got a Grand Slam problem. Other players have had Grand Slam problems when they get to that final stage. Either they blow a big lead or a big opportunity or they choke, you know. Wozniacki's not in that situation. She's really, she's the matches she's lost. Granted, she lost a couple Grand Slam matches before the finals last year that weren't great efforts. But, when she's gotten late in the tournaments and stuff, she's really played pretty decently. So that's not her problem. But, I would like to see these two women go at it for the number one ranking. And I think, in a sense, I think Kleister's, she doesn't owe it to, if anything, shows it to herself in a way to just go out there. And if you're going to play, if you're going to play, make the effort, go out there, battle that girl for number one. I don't like the fact that, suddenly, when she's out of Indian Wells, it becomes about her shoulder. It becomes about the fact that she doesn't want to play WTA mandatory. It's about the fact that she's a mommy and she has to adjust her schedule. Yeah, those are all factors. It's great that she can play as well as she does being a mother and all that. But I think that a little bit diminishes the field. It's a little bit, she makes it sound as if the real problem is, her attention and focus. That if she were focused and attentive, she could do this, but she's got other things going on, including injury, which I wouldn't second guess. I have no doubt that she's injured. But, I just went down to, I would play down the talk.
Right. And I guess for the rivalry between those two, you wonder even if, let's say, Carol Wozniacki beats Kim Kleister in a final like this, I think you have to worry about that rivalry even going forward beyond that. I think Wozniacki would relish a chance to have something like that to kind of, she is the world number one, and that would be just another thing going on for her. But you wonder if Kim would really embrace that or just kind of, say this is how it is that's just the kind that was dealt there, so...
Well, she's had such a checkered past. It's funny because if you look at the big picture, Kim was overshadowed by Justine Henin for so long, basically. And then, oddly enough, it was the thing that really turned it around for her was sort of these retirements that she and Justine had. And they both came back as different players. Kim came back and suddenly started to win matches and maybe before she loses. Justine comes back and starts losing matches and maybe before she wins. Kim ends up noses ahead of Justine in the affections in Belgium, it's been a crazy thing. Her career has, Kim has had some real ups and downs in her career. Nobody's going to look back on Kim Kleister's career and say, look, she was there. She was a tough, gritty, determined player like Maria Sharapova, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to say that she's got that kind of character out there. But, this coming and going and a lot of these issues that swirl around, I think it's a little too convenient. Why not go out there and play Wozniacki? The other way to look at that, from her point of view, is to say, go out and have a good time with this other girl, this young girl who wants to be number one. Go out, have a great time with her, have a couple of matches, see who's the better player and call it good.
We'll see how it all turns out. Like I said, Pete's going to be down there starting early next week on Sunday. We'll see if Jack Sock remains by the time you get there.
We got a couple of young Americans.
Harrison's a wild card. I don't know if Jack Sock has played a pro event yet, ATP level,
I don't know.
I think this might be his first.
He was
a U.S. Open.
Round, you checked?
I have it. He was a U.S. Open junior champion who we saw. I think you wrote that match, actually, for us back.
You did, yes.
Sock will play Carlos Berlocq in the first round. So could be Rafael Nadal, I suppose. So.
And I see Milos Raonic is seated, So this kid has really, really come far. I think I'm still reeling a little bit from Harrison's win over him in the sense that it was pretty unexpected, I felt. And I hope Ryan Harrison can keep the pressure on and keep putting up those Ws. Raonic is now protected with a seating. So you can expect him probably. I don't know. It's to me, Raonic is a little bit of a toss up. He really had such a good run there for a while, but he is still awfully young. You get a little bit tired emotionally. He's another guy who may be after Indian Wells and losing to Harrison maybe in Miami. He's not going to, you know.
Raonic, if he wins his first match, he's going to get most likely, if the seeds play out, he'll play David Ferrer, actually, who he lost to in the Australian Open in the third round. So.
And that's a tough match for
yeah.
Raonic, let's face it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's about as tough a match as you can pencil in for him at this point.
Yeah. Yep. We'll see how it all plays out again early in the week. Tune in with us, and we'll podcast from Miami as well. Pete Bodo and myself, thanks for listening.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.